Be seated. Go ahead and take your Bibles, turn to the book of Colossians. And a great passage of scripture here in the book of Colossians that we're going to talk about this morning. And as you're turning there, I want to challenge you to do your very best to be at every revival service. Boy, I don't know about you, but I'm just really asking that the Lord would stir me up, okay? Not as a youth pastor, okay? Not as someone who fills a position at Temple Baptist Church, but as a believer. And I need the truth of God's Word to penetrate my heart. There are areas perhaps that I need to be challenged in. And I know that the Lord can use Brother Tim Thompson and his team as they come and minister to us. And so we want to avail ourselves to that. Give the Lord an opportunity to work in our hearts. You know, it was in a revival service that the Lord confirmed in my heart that He wanted me in full-time Christian service. It was in a revival service. I was 14, and I still remember that day when the Lord began pulling at my heartstrings, and I solidified that decision. And Lord may want to do that with somebody here today. Somebody may need to go to the mission field, and the Lord's going to use the service during revival to speak to you. And so let's not miss. Let's give the Lord an opportunity to speak to us in a special way. Colossians chapter 2, we're going to finish up this chapter this morning and hopefully be able to start chapter 3 next week. But we've been talking about Paul's concerned heart here in chapter 2, and we've been detailing here what things we ought to look out for. And he uses this word of delusion. Be careful that you're not deluded away from things. And then we talked about some of those things. I got some of the feedback from you guys. But I want you to go ahead and notice here in verse 5, look at what the Bible says. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And so here he tells these Colossian believers that he says, listen, you need to be careful that you don't get deluded with some cultural, worldly ideas. Make sure that you are rooted in Christ. And he goes on to say, listen, I'm not with you there in the flesh, but I know since I've been talking with your pastor that there is an order about the way that you live. There is a steadfastness about the way that you live. So in one sense, Paul is not telling them this because they're off into some deep sin that they've been experiencing there at the Colossae church. He's telling them, listen, this can happen to steadfast people, to Christians who are grounded in the truth. They can easily become deluded with the things of this world. We talked about that the last couple of weeks, so let's press on to the next section, which picks up in verse 6. Look at Colossians 2 and verse 6. The Bible says this, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Paul is setting up the next passage here that's going to run from here, verse 6, all the way to the end of the chapter. Before we get too far ahead of ourselves, let's ask the Lord for clarity. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Sunday school time that we've had already. I thank you for the truths that we have sung about. And Lord, hopefully there is a strong desire in our group today, Lord, that we would be able to reach other people for you, Lord, not just hear these missionary stories and these updates, but Lord, be challenged ourselves to reach our classmates or maybe unsaved loved ones. Lord, I pray that you would lay, Lord, some soul upon my heart today. And Lord, that you would love me or love them through me. Lord, I ask that you would open our eyes to the truth today. Lord, that we'd understand these words that were written so long ago and how they apply to us today. Lord, we love you and ask these things in your name, we pray. Amen. I want you to notice, if you're taking notes, notice Paul's classification. Okay, we've been noticing that his careful spirit. We looked at his concerned heart. Now look at his classification here, running from verse 6 through verse 23. And this has all to do with what it means to walk in Christ. So you get the picture here, the language. He says, listen, you are, look at verse 6 again, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Okay? When we hear the terminology used throughout the Word of God, walk in love. Somebody tell me, what does walk in love mean? If you see that or hear that, well, what does it mean to walk in love? just a general idea here. Anybody know? Ooh, oh, we've discovered some deep theological truth this morning. Maybe we need to park here a while. Yes. Yeah, that's it. Okay, what does it mean to walk in love? It means you love people, okay? What I do it because I love people, and I'm going to love you, and hopefully you love me, but either way, I'm going to walk in love and try to do that very thing. Okay, so that in its very simple form, to walk in love means you're just going to love people. To walk in Christ means that my life, my walk, the way I behave, the way that I speak, the way that I think, is going to be that which is connected to living and following Jesus Christ. Okay, does that make sense? Everybody understand what it means to walk in Christ, to be rooted in Him? And Paul's going to give us three things this morning here in his classification of what it means to walk in Christ that will help us understand more deeply what exactly he means by that. So we're talking about walking ye in him. Look at it in verse 7 here. Rooted, there's that word, and built up in him, established in your faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Great verse here. Great verse here. This is what Paul says. Listen, this is what it looks like to be grounded in the Lord Jesus or walk in him. That means you're going to be rooted in him. That means your foundation is in him. That means there was a time, a day, a place when you made the personal decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. At that moment, you were rooted in Christ and you were founded in him and grounded in him. What else does it say? Built up in him. Then we began to grow, hopefully spiritually, and learn about how we follow the Lord and established in the faith. And as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then we learned that even in the midst of trials and difficulties, we can still walk with the Lord, grow in Him, and be praising Him all the while. This is what it means. This is what it looks like to walk in Him. But He does give us some things to consider. Okay, this is what it looks like to walk in Him. This is what you're hopefully experiencing and looking for as you go about your lives. But here are some things that I want you to be careful of. Okay, and he's going to get into this. Look at verse 7 now. Verse 8. Notice the word he uses here. He says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So in Paul's classification here, how do we move around in Christ? Well, a person who is walking in Christ is aware. He gives us that. A person that's walking in Christ is aware. He says, hey, Colossian believers, be aware, lest any man spoil you. The word spoil you here has the idea of to capture. Okay, so he's not talking about hey, be careful, they're going to become people coming into your church and actually lift you out of the seat and then run away with you. No, he's not talking about a physical capturing here. He's talking about something that can take place of the mind, okay? A capturing of the mind. Sometimes we say, we ask the Lord, Lord, captivate our thinking. That means to fully take it to you and allow us to be directed completely on you. Well, Paul's saying here that there are some people, there are some pressures, there are some cultural things that you need to be mindful of that can easily capture your thinking away from where it needs to be. And so for a Christian, we have to be aware. We've got to be aware. We can't be so foolish or naive to think that, hey, every day I live for Christ and no one will have a problem with that and nothing will challenge that. Boy, that's a false idea. It's foolish thinking because the Apostle Paul here says a person who is walking with Christ he's first aware. So Paul, how is it that people would maybe try to shift our thinking? Or how is it that things could capture our thinking away from you or away from Christ? Well, he says, lest any man spoil you, capture you through philosophy. That's the first thing he warns us over. What is philosophy? It's a particular system of man's wisdom, we could say. Now, in Colossae, this was happening. This was a real pressure. The Roman philosophies, the Greek-Roman philosophies that were going about in this day and time were very challenging. That was the norm in their society, was these ideas and philosophies and the Greek gods. This was the way the people in the city operated. It's the way they were trained to think as children as they grew up. These people had gotten saved. They had realized, hey, wait a second, that's not real. That's false. That's man's wisdom. That's man's philosophy. And I'm clinging to Christ. And so Paul's warning them, hey, listen, be careful as you raise your kids. Be careful even in your own mind that you don't go back to that. Be careful that it doesn't recapture your thinking. So he mentions philosophy. What else does he mention here? The next word, notice, vain deceit. That has the idea of empty, things that are empty and deceptive. Notice the next thing he says, the traditions of men. Things that were maybe always done, but were not based in truth. Things that were done, traditions. Things that were of the past and maybe passed down because of the area that they were living in or had become a part of their heritage and things that they had done but were not necessarily based in truth. And Paul warns them, he says, hey, listen, make sure that those traditions, those things, don't become so dominant in your life and in your thinking that they capture you away from where your attention needs to be. He mentions philosophy, he mentions vain deceit, he mentions tradition of men. Notice the next description here, same verse, verse 8, after the rudiments of the world. What are the rudiments of the world? Rudiments is an idea of elementary teaching, okay? Now remember that there's two pressures that this church at Colossae was facing. Okay, there was the worldly pressures that were coming from the Greek and Roman philosophies of life, and then the other side of things were these Judaizers, these people who were still observing the law in hopes that they would gain eternal life, or trying to take Jesus and then pile on all the ceremonial laws and say, all right, here's the package for saving grace. Okay, so these are the pressures that are facing the church. So the rudiments of the world, these are elementary things. And in Paul's writing, he will often point back to, and refer to the old ceremonial laws as something that was the beginnings of the big picture. Later on, he calls those things a shadow of things to come, in which he means Christ. And so he's warning them, he's saying, listen, don't get caught up in trying to pile on these rudimentary or elementary things that were so a while ago. And so he says, beware. And the Christian has to be aware, the rudiments of the world. And then as he finishes off this verse in verse 8, look at what he says, and not rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Okay, so it's almost like Paul, in case he didn't cover all of the bases in their culture and in our culture, he says, listen, all of these things and then anything else that is not according to Jesus Christ. So in other words, the Lord says, hey, when we make the choice to walk in Christ and according to who He is and what He said, that means that we're separating ourselves from everything else. And this is one of the great truths of this passage, is that you and I don't need anything else but Christ. You say, what do I need in life? Okay, at my very core, what do I need in regards to eternity, in regards to living a healthy and successful life in the Lord? What does that mean? Well, it's Christ is the answer. And that's at the core of what he's trying to talk about here. So a person who is walking in Christ is aware. He's aware of the philosophies and the vain deceits and traditions of men that may try to capture his thinking. Notice verse 10 here. Notice verse 10. We see here that the Bible says, and ye are complete in him, okay, which is the head of all principality and power. We notice, first of all, a person who's walking in Christ is aware and ought be. Number two, we see a person who is walking in Christ is complete. Complete. Verses 10 through 15 speak of this idea of what it means to be complete in the Lord. Now, the word complete here has the idea of to be filled up. Okay, I remember when I was a kid and we'd go to Taco Bell or we'd go to McDonald's or wherever. I was always really interested in, because I didn't get soda all the time, how much soda I could drink. How many cups of soda could I possibly squeeze in, while I've got my Happy Meal or whatever. That was a big deal to me. And so I'd finish it off and then I'd go back. And then I go back. Okay. And I go back. And as a kid, you're just like, how much can I get in this cup? You know, and my kids do this. Okay. They like, you know, all right, yeah, go. Can you go? Hey, would you mind just filling this cup for me, please, and bringing it back? You know, and Philip's there. And he's like handing it off to me. It's spilling on the side. Like, what are we doing here? I'm like, come on. What's he thinking? Hey, I'm going to fill this thing up. Dad wants all of it filled. Okay? Now, we think like that, all right? But what Paul is saying here is, listen, you are that cup filled to the brim with Christ. There is nothing else that you need to lay on Christ in order to get through this life. There's nothing else. You don't need to add anything to it for salvation. But be careful. Be aware. There are going to be people who challenge you in this. And so we see here in verse 10, he continues the thought, and ye are complete. You're filled up in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. So I want you to see here in the next couple of verses, 11 and 12, that it's not circumcision, but baptism. Paul, how is it that we're complete or filled up in Christ? And now he speaks to some of the ceremonial things that were going on in that day. Look at verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, where also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. You say, Brother Scott, what's happening here? He's telling them again, he's reiterating here, listen, you are complete. Now, what was happening? Okay, the Judaizers were coming to these Christians who accepted what the Lord Jesus Christ had done on the cross for salvation. They accepted that. They're walking in the Lord. These Judaizers come along and say, hey, listen, have you fulfilled all the law? Hey, Gentiles, listen. We're Jews, and we know how this thing works, and you need to make sure that you're following the whole law. And the law requires circumcision. And have you done that? I mean, listen, if you're going to be complete in the Lord, this is something you need to do. And what does Paul say? Hey, listen, put that thought aside. The Lord said that idea of circumcision took place at the heart level when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. That took place, and it's not circumcision, but verse 12, it's baptism. Okay, so a circumcision was that show of, hey, this is what I've chosen to do. This is who I am following after. It's a sign, right? Then what is baptism? Baptism is the very same thing for the New Testament Christian. Well, I've been baptized, and what am I doing? It's not for salvation. It's showing forth what the Lord has done in my life. It's a testimony. We're buried and raised with Christ. And so we see it here in verse 12. So Paul says it's not circumcision, but baptism. Notice number two, it's not me, but Christ and what he's done. Look at verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, word there quickened means made alive, together with him having forgiven you all trespasses. And what else? Well, verse 14, he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances so that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. What's Paul saying here? Listen, it's not some ceremonial law that allows you to be complete in Christ or somehow allows you to spend eternity with him. And it's not your own doing. Because Christ did it all. I mean, look at all the detailing of what Paul says Christ did on our behalf. We had, as it were, because of our sin and the load that we carried before Christ and our sinful nature, that it was like a writing, a warrant for our arrest and for our death had already been signed. And what did the Lord do? Jesus Christ took the sin of the whole world upon him and your sin and my sin, and he got rid of it all. Because of his blood, because of his sacrifice. And so remember, listen, your ability to be saved today is not because of some action that you are doing right now. It's not because of some deed or something I'm going to carry out today. No, that's the Lord. It's not circumcision, it's baptism. It's not you, but it's Christ that keeps you saved. And then notice, third of all here, we are not bound, but we are free. Notice verse 16. Verse 16, it says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow, there's that phrase there, a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward with a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into these things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by the fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered, and knit together increases with the increase of God. Verse 20, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments of doctrines of men. Look at the last verse. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Notice finally, as we finish here, the Apostle Paul is saying, look, the Judaizers want to bind you with all of these Old Testament rules. Hey, you need to eat a kosher diet. Okay, hey, you need to celebrate the ceremonial days. Hey, if you're going to be complete in the Lord, listen, that was a shadow and that has passed away. The veil has been rent in twain. And now we have Jesus Christ in us. We're able to walk in him. You're not going to be any more saved because you abide by these things. They don't have any hold over you. And what a blessing that is. Notice as we just read the final verses here, and this is the third thing, a person who is walking with Christ is aware. He is complete, but he also remembers that he is dead with Christ. Verse 23 says here, Paul's posing the question, why are you allowing some of these things to rule over you when the Lord has already done so much, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in worship and humility and neglect of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh? What does he say? He says, look, these things that the Judaizers want to put on you, they have a show of honor, but they are not honorary. They have a show of something that, hey, this looks like it's a good thing, but it's not. It's not a good thing. And what a blessing this morning. You know, we are not coming from the standpoint of, you know, someone who is experiencing pressure from Judaizers. That's not the pressures that are predominant in our life. Okay? When you walk out of here and walk into the morning service, you won't have anybody pull you aside, Elijah, and say, now, Elijah, you know, if you really want to be complete in Christ, you need to make sure that you're eating that kosher diet now and make sure that it's, you know, on point. You know, it's not going to happen, okay? We don't face that type of thing. But don't miss the principle, okay? And the principle is the Lord wants you and I, every day that we live, to walk in Him according with His Word, according with His example. And how do we do that? We do that by being aware. And we do that by some of these other things, realizing that we died to self and we are raised to live with Christ every day that we live. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the truth of the book of Colossians. Lord, we took off and chewed off a big piece this morning, but Lord, I pray as we read through the verses, Father, that you would be able to work in our hearts. Lord, even as we leave this place, I pray that Father, we would not get far from the truth of the ability we have to, Lord, to walk in you. Thank you, Lord, that, Father, we do not have to earn our way to heaven or, Lord, pile things on to Christ, but, Lord, that we can be complete in you, 100%, knowing that we have everything we need and not succumb to adding other pressures, adding other things, Lord, that would capture our thinking in a harmful way. Lord, speak to us in the morning service. Father, we love you. We ask these things in your name. Amen.